When a school shooting like the one at Marysville Pilchuck High happens, it's natural to ask why. That's a question many of us asked after the school shootings at Columbine or Sandy Hook. Andrew Solomon spent many hours talking with the parents of Dylan Klebold, one of the Columbine shooters, and he was the only journalist allowed to interview Peter Lanza, the father of Adam Lanza, the shooter of Sandy Hook. Solomon told Jeannie Yandel, when it comes to tragedies like these, observers find it very easy to blame the shooter's parents.
There is a tendency to think that these things happen because of bad parenting. And I believe that part of the reason that that tendency is so strong in the culture is because if you believe that these things are a result of bad parenting, then you know that because you yourself have been a good parent, this won't happen to you. My investigations lead me to believe that these things are in some very profound sense random, that they happen under a variety of circumstances, and that none of us can be 100% sure that our child would never be capable of something like this, especially when the child is in the transformative processes of adolescence. A lot of damage can be done by parents to their children, and in some instances, the damage that parents inflict can push their children toward extreme violence or toward criminal acts. But I think to make the inverse assumption that because parents can cause their children to escalate in this direction, that therefore children who behave in this way are doing so because of their parents, is to make a gigantic and completely unfounded leap. And while I think that children who get involved in crime at a sort of lower level are in many instances there because of bad parenting, my experience of people who commit these very, very extreme crimes and who do these very extreme things so far has been that in most cases, certainly not all, the parents are very attentive, engaged, loving parents who often had no idea that their child was capable of something like this. Children keep big secrets from their parents. Many children keep many big secrets from their parents, and parents aren't necessarily able to penetrate those secrets. So I think the children were secretive, and I think the parents were loving. There are things that, in retrospect, could have been done better if they'd been done differently. I think that's true of almost anybody's childhood when you have the wisdom of retrospect from adulthood.
I'm talking with Andrew Solomon. He's a writer for The New Yorker. He's also reported on school shootings at Columbine, at Sandy Hook. He was the only journalist who was allowed to interview Peter Lanza, who was the father of Adam Lanza. He was the shooter at Sandy Hook. One of the things that has come out of the reporting of the shooting at Marysville Pilchuck High School is that Jalen Freiberg, the young man who committed these shootings, was a really popular, well-liked young man. What do you make of that piece of information?
The Jalen Freiberg story is a particularly disturbing one for a variety of reasons, and one of them is that he doesn't appear to have been someone who in any outward way manifested the level of rage and anger and dismay that were characteristic of, certainly of Adam Lanza and to some degree even of Dylan Klebold. It's also striking that his tribe has really emerged in this episode as almost a family, that they have been, on the one hand, blamed for what went wrong, and on the other hand, have been going through this immense soul-searching around it. I think the fact that he was well-liked, apparently, it shows that the brokenness in someone that leads to behavior of this kind does not come from obvious externals. You know, I don't think it's caused by abusive and neglectful parents in most instances, and I don't think it's actually caused by being bullied at school. I think being bullied at school, again, can have traumatic consequences and lead people to acts which are distressing. But I think this kind of completely extreme, over-the-top, violent, cruel, heartless behavior is, and the annihilation of others brought into the process of annihilating oneself, I don't think it's a response to people being mean to you at school. I think popular kids can be just as crazy as unpopular kids.
Some of our listeners may know Jalen Freiberg's family. Some of our listeners are members of the Tulalip tribes. What should people take away from what happened at Marysville based on what you've learned reporting on other shootings?
I think the first thing to take away is that we're never as safe as we think we are. I think that's tragic, but I think it's an important thing to bear in mind. I think it's important to remember that we think we know our children well, but that we frequently don't know all of what's going on, and that it's worth continuing to aspire to know them really well. I think it's worth taking away from it that adolescent rage is not moderated by the self-control that develops as people get older. There's now physiological evidence that the areas of the prefrontal cortex involved in self-control don't really mature in males until about the age of 25. And so you can't assume that people who are adolescent and who appear to be sophisticated in various ways are actually capable of functioning in the way that adults do. But I also think it's important to look at larger questions here. And to me, the largest question is, what constitutes mental health and what constitutes mental illness? I haven't seen any evidence that Jalen Freiberg had a diagnosable mental illness. He didn't have bipolar disorder. He does not appear to have had schizophrenia. There's no evidence to point toward any of that. But someone who would undertake to do something like what he undertook to do is someone who has something profoundly wrong. And I think to say that he was mentally healthy would be inaccurate. So there's a vast gray area that lies where someone is not entirely mentally healthy, but doesn't have one of the disorders that can be diagnosed under the guidelines of the American Psychiatric Association. I feel as though it's a terrible gap. We've sort of destigmatized the major mental illnesses to some degree, and we have much better treatments for them than we used to. But we have people who are in this sort of strange, confusing space, and we don't even have a vocabulary for it. Mental health advocates get furious if you say that Dylan Klebold was crazy, or if you say that Adam Lanza was crazy, people get very upset, and they say, you know, that just makes everyone think that people with mental illnesses are dangerous, and most people with mental illnesses are not dangerous, and so on and so forth. And I feel like, okay, but then we have to have some way to talk about the people who are dangerous and to describe what's going on in their minds, because if we don't have insight into what goes on in people's minds that allows these eventualities, then we're never going to be able to address this problem. And as the number of these shootings escalates and escalates and escalates, it's clear that there are a lot of people struggling with these disturbances, which are at the moment starved for language.
I'm talking with Andrew Solomon. He's a writer for The New Yorker. He spent time with Peter Lanza, the father of Adam Lanza, who was the Sandy Hook shooter. He also spent time with Dylan Klebold's family, one of the shooters at Columbine High School. He's the author of a book called Far From the Tree. You've said a couple of times that it's profoundly difficult for any parent to really know what their own child is going through. As a parent yourself, how does that affect the way you talk to your own kids, the way you try and know your children?
It's had a very profound effect on me. The time that I've spent with these families has been transformative. My children seem to me, as most people's children seem to them, to be the most enchanting, delightful creatures on this green earth. And though they occasionally do things that are incredibly irksome and occasionally do things that, you know, constitute bad behavior, I certainly can't imagine them ever doing anything remotely like this. They're 5 and 7 at the moment. But I recognize that knowing your children is a constant battle. I mean, I'm gay, and my parents didn't know it for many, many years, and I managed to keep a great deal of what was going on in my life completely secret from my parents. And so as my children grow up, I will always work on the assumption that they're keeping a lot of secrets, and that to some extent, for their privacy and for the integrity of their experience, I have to respect their right to keep a lot of secrets. But I have to always, always, always try to keep a corridor open in which it will be possible for them to share anything that's going wrong, no matter how dark or sinister it is. So I make them feel, you know, that they will be loved and not judged and so on, but also I make them feel that I'm paying an enormous amount of attention. Sue Klebold told the story, which I thought was quite interesting, that she was in the, I don't know, hair salon, I think, and she was looking through a women's magazine, and it had a questionnaire in it, and it said, are you a good parent? And then you had a bunch of questions you were supposed to answer, and then at the bottom you got a score. And she said she got all of the questions right, except one, which said, your child is keeping a diary which is locked in his desk drawer. Would you ever go into his desk drawer to read it? And she wrote, yes. Because she said, if I had gone into Dylan's desk and I had found his hidden journals, I would have discovered what he was planning and I would have been able to stop it. And the fact that I didn't now seems to me to be a terrible mistake. But the magazine said, you shouldn't do that. That would be far too intrusive. That's not how parents should relate to their children. She said, how do you make sense out of that one way or another? And I think with my children that, well, I hope not to have to break into their desk drawers, that I'm going to be more intrusive than I previously thought I would be, because I'm going to strive all of the time to find anything important they might be hiding because I know that those secrets people hide can sometimes have explosively terrible consequences.
Andrew Solomon, he spent many hours interviewing the parents of both the Sandy Hook and Columbine shooters. Earlier this year, The New Yorker published Solomon's article about Peter Lanza, the father of Sandy Hook shooter Adam. He spoke with Jeannie Yandel. This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.